Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we know that you're good. We know that you're never going to let us down. And today I just pray, God, that we would be able to walk out of here realizing that and owning that, not just singing about it, but truly believing it and truly allow our lives to show that we believe in your goodness and we believe in your mercy and your grace and your love. And so continue to speak to us today, Jesus. We love you. And all God's people said together, amen, amen. Can we thank our worship team for leading us this morning? Thank you guys so much. You can be seated. Man, that was phenomenal. Any of y'all like singing? Anybody like really, you love to sing? Anybody at all? Like, okay, a couple of us, all right? And how many of you can't sing? Like, just be honest. Like, you're a terrible singer, all right? I'm with you. I'm in that group, but I don't care. I love to sing and have a good time. Once again, Miss Susan, you did so good. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. Today's our first time hosting, and she wasn't nervous at all. But we're so blessed that each and every one of you are here. And my name's Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love, love, love that opportunity. Your presence in this room is a really, really big deal. And whether this is your first time or you've been here for a long time, I want you to know that our teams work really hard to make this church feel like your church. And we want you to feel welcome and to feel loved. I would love the opportunity to meet you over here in our landing area. But not for any reason other than to thank you for being here. We do have a couple of special guests in the room today. Our men's and women's soccer team from HHCA, they all came. And so can we just show them a little love today? Coaches, thanks for bringing the squads out. They're getting ready for playoffs and tournament time. So we're excited for them to be here. Guys, y'all look good. Y'all look nice today. I like seeing you guys here. For our regular attenders and for those of you that have been here with us for a while, man, you guys are the best. Your faithfulness to the Lord and just everything that we get to experience and see. We truly believe, I believe this with all of my heart, that our church, we're in the middle of one of the most important seasons in the life of our church. A couple of weeks ago, we made an announcement that we have officially signed a contract for some property out in the Okadee and 170 corridor out there, and we believe that this is a strategic location for God to use City Hope Church to reach people in our community for years and years to come. And when I look at this, this isn't just land, this isn't just property, this is future ministry, future students coming, future families coming, future lives being changed, and I'm so excited about what the Lord has provided us with this opportunity. So if you weren't here for that, we signed a contract, and some of you guys are in this world, so you know it a lot better than I do. We were given a 45-day review period. And so basically for us, that means come up with some money, man. That's what 45-day review period means. And so right now we're about 24 days left in this review period to secure the funds. And so I just want you to know there's a real sense of urgency, all right? And for many of you, this is a big step of faith for us. And for many of you, my question to you and my request to you is just to ask the Lord, what's your role in this? God, what is my role and what's going on at City Hope Church? And so we've been preparing for this day since we launched the church. We've been saving for this day. And so we're wanting to step into this. We're stepping out in faith and asking God to show up and do something that only he gets the credit for. And I'll be honest with you, as the leader, as your pastor, there's a real heaviness to this. I'm anxious, I'm nervous, but I'm also have this understanding that God, if you want us to have it, you're going to do it. And God, use your people and use whoever you want to use to make this happen. And so just a little bit of information about it. The number that I'm praying for that God would provide, I'm praying that God would provide this land to us debt-free. But the minimum amount that we need to be able to move forward is about $600,000, all right? And so some of you are like, holy smoke, it's a God-sized assignment that he's given us, right? And so We've already received some amazing blessings and generous gifts of that $600,000. And so I just want you to know that we'll give you some more updates as far as what that, but if you would ask God that question, what's my role in this, God? Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe your financial situation isn't at a place where you're, you know, able to contribute very much, and that's quite okay, but you're a prayer warrior. Well, let me share this. This Friday, we're going to have one of our prayer rooms. We do this about once a month. This Friday at 6:30, we're having a prayer room right here at the Boys and Girls Club for us just to come and pray and seek the Lord. And I want to ask you to be involved in that. For some of you, your step in this is to give a financial investment. You're ready for God to use you, and you want to see what God's going to do, and God's calling you to make a financial investment. And for some of you, it's not even about what you're going to do. It's about who you know. And it's about some phone calls that you can make and get people on board with the vision that God wants us to do. And so let me invite you just to ask the Lord, what does that look like? And I know that God's going to bless it. So everybody good? Everybody got where we're going, where we're headed? All right, good. All right. We're going to jump back into our series today called First Things First. If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 12. Go to John chapter 12. And what we're looking at in this series is, for those of us in here that have a relationship with the Lord, you're striving after Him. Maybe it's at an all-time high. Maybe your relationship with God is at an all-time low. Wherever you're at in your journey, we're kind of looking at this intersection of my belief and my devotion in God, and then the use and stewardship of my money and the resources that God gave me. And I told you guys this a couple weeks ago. The mission of this series is really, really kind of simple. I want to take what God's word says about finances and resources and the things that He's given us. I want to take what God's word says, and then I want to look at my life and see if those two things align. I want you to live your life and spend your money and the resources that God's given you in a way that honors the Lord. That's my heart. That's my goal for this series. And you've heard this each week, and I want you to understand this, because this is kind of the heartbeat. Jesus did not die for 10% of your money. He died for 100% of your heart. All right? He died for 100% of your life. God does not need Bobby's money. He's way bigger than that. He wants Bobby's heart, and He wants your heart. So how do I give Him that? How do I give God everything? How do I live my life in that way? Well, I think the simplest, I mean, this goes for almost anything you're going to do in life. The simple, most logical sentiment that we can give, and we're trying to accomplish something, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is just simple. Take the next step. If you're going to grow in your walk with Jesus, if I'm going to grow in my walk, whether you're a student, whether you're an adult, whether you're a grandparent, or whether you're single, take the next step. Before you go run a marathon, what do you got to do? Before you go run a 10K, a 5K, or any kind of K, well, what do you got to do? You got to become a runner, right? Well, how do I become a runner? Well, I got to go out and jog. How do I become a jogger? Well, first, when I'm little, I got to learn how to walk. And how do I learn how to walk? One step at a time. And that goes for every single thing in our lives. You can just think about it. If you want to save $1 million, what do you got to do? You got to start saving $1 at a time. Right? If you want to build a neighborhood, you build one house at a time. Before anything significant happens in your life, you take one step at a time. There's an old ancient Chinese proverb, very, very simple. I love it. It says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And not only is this you know, wisdom and business kind of related wisdom, but the Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. Now, here's what I've learned over a lot of years of serving in ministry and just serving the Lord, period, that God doesn't usually show us the whole journey. Sometimes He just lights up the next step. Sometimes God doesn't go, well, this is what it's going to look like in 30 years. He says, no, 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 I want you to just take a step right now. And my hope for these next 30 or so minutes that we're in here is that every single one of us would take a next step when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our discipleship, when it comes to our finances. And my goal today as your pastor is not just to give you a bunch of information, but I want to help you grow in your devotion to Jesus. I want to help you grow in this area of your life because this is an area that God wants. He talks about it a whole lot. And this is more about your discipleship process than it is about finances. And so what is it? What is the thing in your life that God wants you to take a next step in? That it's time for you to take a next step. And here's why I want you to understand that's such a big deal. This is really important. And students, I know y'all are here, and a lot of times church is kind of geared towards the older folks, but I need y'all to lock in today too, because you have a next step in your journey. Because one day you're going to be a parent, you're going to be a mom, you're going to be a dad, you're going to be a deacon or an elder, you're going to be somebody that's sitting in a church, and you need to know now the steps that you can take that are going to get you to where you want to go one day. And so here's why this is such an important thing, and I want you to listen to this, and if you're a note taker, write this down, that your next step is going to have an effect on other people. Your next step is going to have some kind of effect on somebody else. It might be a spouse, it might be a child, it might be a friend, it might be a neighbor, it might be someone that you coach, but your next step is going to have an effect on other people. And I want to show you this story today in John chapter 12. It's probably a familiar story to some of you. For some of you, you maybe never heard this one, but we're going to look at a story of a lady who took a next step and it affected a lot of people. It affected a whole lot of people. And her generosity, her worship was recorded in God's word for the rest of humanity to learn and mimic what she does. So in John chapter 12, let me give you just a little bit of context real quick. Right before this, in John chapter 11, Jesus was on his earthly ministry and he raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, now that's a pretty big deal even for Jesus. People at this time, this miracle was so powerful, everybody started coming and like, what is going on? This dude just raised somebody from the dead? And people who didn't know anything about Jesus, they were coming, they were listening. But what did it do? The religious people, those that were, you know, they were in the know and they had all the scriptures memorized, they started doubting this guy. Like, this dude's wicked, we got to get him out of here. And so they started plotting how to kill him. Right? So there's this group of people that are amazed at him, that are watching him, that wanted to learn more from him. And then there's this group of people over here that are ready to kill him. Like, we got to get rid of this dude. So needless to say, in John chapter 12, the tension is high. It is really high. So Jesus comes back to Bethany. This is where Lazarus lived, okay? And they throw a dinner party, all right? Any of y'all love to throw a dinner party? I love to eat at dinner parties. I don't love to throw them, but they're throwing a dinner party in the honor of Jesus, okay? Now, this is the setting here. Think about this, right? Go to your dinner, what's it called? Dining room. Go to your dining room. We eat outside, but go to your dining room and just imagine there's tension in the air. There's all these people there. There's so many people in the room that they're looking for Jesus. They're trying, man, there's curiosity, there's anger, there's bitterness. There's like, what's this guy doing? I want to know. And right in the middle of that moment, a lady named Mary steps into the scene and she does something incredible. So let me ask you to stand to your feet and honor the reading of God's word. Let's all stand together, and we're going to read John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Look at these verses here with me. We'll walk along in this story, then we'll unpack it for just a few minutes. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Now here it is, verse 3. Then Mary, she took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. And Jesus answered this. Look what Jesus says. "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial, for you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it like only you can. Move me out of your way, God. Speak to us
allow us to see the next step that you're calling us to take in any aspect of our life and every aspect of our life. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. You can be seated. So think about the scene here. It's amazing, right? It's a dinner party for Jesus. Mary and Martha are there again. Martha is serving. That's what she does. Martha's always, she's the busybody. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's serving everybody. And that's just what she has always done. Lazarus was alive. He was dead. I mean, think about that. This dude was dead. And now here he is sitting at a table. He got risen. And he's sitting at a table with Jesus and all of his friends. And then the Bible says, Mary, in the middle of all this, all these men and women there, Mary took a very precious gift and she gave it to Jesus. She had something that she wanted to spend on Jesus. She had something that she wanted to pour out on Jesus. This is an amazing interruption of generosity. And it had a major effect. And I want to give you four quick truths. It'll be really fast today. I want to give you four quick truths that I think we can pull out of John's gospel. Number one, her gift was precious to her. The gift that Mary gave to Jesus was a very precious gift. When the Bible says it was a pound of pure nard, it means that it was extremely rare. This was a very important, a luxury perfume. This wasn't something that she went down to the store at the mall and grabbed, right? This was like one of us going and emptying out our entire savings account and giving it away. I mean, this was a really, really, really big deal. And I want you to notice what it says. It says she opened it and she poured it all on Jesus. Now, for some of you, you think about perfume. What do? Guys, what do? You get a couple squirts, right? Ladies, I don't know why y'all do this. It's kind of weird. You put it right here. Like, why do you want your wrist to smell good? I don't understand that. Anyways, it wasn't just a little dab here for Jesus. Oh, I got this cool smelling stuff and I'll give Jesus just a little bit. I'll give him a little squirt. No. Understand what's going on here. She takes the whole thing and pours it onto the feet of Jesus. She anoints his feet. And then she begins to take her hair and wipe his feet and clean the feet of Jesus. I mean, this is a really significant act. It is a very expensive thing that she just did. Now, I don't understand this because I don't have any hair. But the women, their hair was a symbol. It was about dignity. It was about honor. A woman's hair was a really big deal during this time. They did not let their hair down in public. It was not something that was being seen. And here comes this lady in front of all of these men. The tension's high. It's crazy. She takes her life savings, pours it out, and she lets her hair down and begins to wipe the feet of Jesus. Now, just imagine the looks she was getting. Just imagine what everybody in there was thinking, like, what is going on with this lady? Now understand something today, church. She didn't just give a little bit. She didn't just use what she wanted to use and then give God the leftovers. The Bible says it was worth about a year's wages, which is 300 denarii. See, they back in this time, it was about one denarii per day of work. This was about a year's worth of wages to her. This was something that was very precious to her. It wasn't, I'll just give a little bit, and it didn't cost her really anything. This was the gift that she gave to Jesus, and it cost her something big. It cost her something. But listen, here's the greatest thing about this. In her eyes, he was worth it. In her eyes, it was so worth it. All that she saved up, everything that she'd been giving, everything that she's been holding on to in her life, it cost her something, but she knew that it was worth it. So here's my question for you and I today that we need to dig in and take home. What's your perfume? What's your perfume? What's the thing? Everybody, we all got something in our lives that we want to protect. Maybe it's in a bank somewhere. Maybe it's in an investment somewhere. Maybe it's an individual. Maybe it's something. I don't know. What is your perfume? What's that thing in your life that is so valuable that you're holding on tight to? That is just, you would rather protect it than pour it out. What is that thing in your life? Because here's what I believe. That true worship of God isn't giving when it's easy. It's giving what's precious. It's giving something that's easy, doesn't really cost me anything. Yeah, I give some money, or yeah, I give some time, or yeah, I give some help or some resources or some wisdom, or yeah, I'll go and I'll serve some students. Or when it's easy, is it really worship? But when it costs something, and Mary's perfume was precious to her, and it was such a precious thing in her life that she was willing to give to Jesus. So number one, it was not only precious to her. Number two, her gift was pleasant to others. It wasn't just precious to her. Look at this. Verse 3. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, again, the text says the whole room was filled with the fragrance of her perfume. Everybody in the room got to experience Mary's gifts. Everybody was affected by Mary's generosity in that moment. Now, don't forget, what are they doing? They're eating a meal together. So what happens when you cook a bunch of food? The aroma, the smell, right? Don't forget what kind of time this is in the history of humanity. I mean, it's probably not a great smelling place, right? They didn't have Head and Shoulders back then, right? And I mean, there's animals, there's pets, there's probably some stinky dudes around the table. But the Bible says that everybody in the room experienced what she poured out. Everybody in the room smelled the fragrance. Her generosity had an impact on other people. And here's the truth for you and I. Real generosity doesn't stay contained. It fills the room. It changes environments. It changes the people around you. That's how generosity works. You don't just give generosity. You spread generosity. And so what you pour out in your life is going to have an effect on some other people. Most of you know I have three daughters and a beautiful wife, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that God decided to give me that. A lot of pink, a lot of purple, a lot of nail polish smells in my house. But as my girls have gotten older, one of the things that they just love to do is get in the back of my truck and spray their little nasty perfume all over with all the windows up, all right? And so if you get in my car and it smells like princesses, I'm sorry, okay? But that's kind of the impact that I think Mary had in the room. Like, my girls can sit in the back of the truck and they can spray something and not tell me about it, but just in a few minutes, I'm gonna smell it, right? A few seconds. Everybody in the truck's gonna smell it. And this is exactly what happened with Mary. Her generosity, she's like, you know what? I don't care who's here. I don't care who's watching. I'm gonna do what Jesus called me to do. And her gift changed the atmosphere. Her gift, her generosity changed the room. And I want you to know this, church, that what you carry in your life eventually becomes what you spread. Now, I could preach a whole sermon on just that line right there, all right? What you carry in your life eventually becomes what you spread to the people around you. You're carrying hurt, guess what you're going to spread? Hurt. You're carrying anger and bitterness, and you got all this that you're carrying around, guess who's going to get that? People in your truck, people in your life, people in your home, people in your church. What you carry around eventually becomes what you spread. If you're carrying around a spirit of generosity, a spirit of love, a spirit of worship, that is what you're going to spread out. That's what's going to come out of you. And I love the fact that our giving, that our generosity has the influence that it has. It's amazing that other people, when generosity spills out of you, when generosity spills out of me, everybody's impacted. My kids, my coworkers, my friends, my teammates, everybody's impacted when generosity pours out of me. If you have ever given to a church, whether it be City Hope or any church, then literally hundreds, if not thousands of lives have been affected by your generosity, because something that you poured out, people have been affected. I had this thought this week. And you, if you've been here for a while, you know I have a lot of weird thoughts, and sometimes I say them and sometimes I don't. I just keep them to myself so y'all don't think I'm weird. But I had this thought this week. What if we didn't try to smell like success and we tried to smell like generosity. Like it's all about perfume and smells and the whole fragrance filled there. What if in our life today, now this is hard. We talked about this a couple months ago. This is hard in Bluffton, South Carolina. Let's just be real. Man, we live in a keep up with the Joneses kind of world and kind of culture, right? We just do. But what if we decided, you know what? Instead of trying to smell like success for people to see, I want to smell like generosity. That's what I want to spread. That's what I want people to see in me. That's how I want to live my life. Her gift was precious to her, but it was pleasant to others. Now, number three, her gift was perplexing to some. Now, this is where it gets a little tough. Look at verse 4. It says, then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, and I just think this is so funny. This is the dude that's about to betray Jesus. And the Bible even says he didn't even care about the poor people. He just was running his mouth because he wanted to steal the money. But he was about to betray Jesus. And look, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Not everybody understood what Mary was doing. Not everybody understood why Mary was being so generous. He questioned her giving. Right? Today, I think this would be kind of the classic online rant. Well, you could have used that money for so much other things, right? And that's exactly what Judas was doing. Some people aren't going to understand your heart of giving. And there will be people who criticize. There will be people who question you when you take a step of generosity. But living a life according to what God's word says, living a life to be generous like Jesus calls us to live, it's always going to produce haters. It's always going to produce doubters. There's always going to be somebody. People are going to criticize. What are you doing? Guess what? If you decided that your next step in life was, all right, we're going to stop spending money stupid in our house, right? We're going to stop putting things on the credit card that we've always put on the credit card, and we're not going to go to those places. We're not going to go to those parties. We're going to live in a way that God, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be like, "What's wrong with you? You used to do this with us. How come you're not doing that anymore?" When you start living, you start living within your means. You start living within your budget. I love how Dave Ramsey says, you start acting your wage. When you start acting your wage, guess what? People are going to be like, what's wrong? And then you're able to share, well, you know what? We were just kind of living too extravagant, and we're under debt and with stress and anxiety, and it was so heavy, and we just got to change. Really? Come on out and have fun with us. No, we don't have money for that. When you start living your life according to Jesus, it's always going to produce doubters. And that's exactly what happens here in Mary's situation. You can't worry about the critics, church. You can't worry about the naysayers. As you are taking a step towards Jesus in your finances, remember who you're looking to. Remember who you're doing it for. And understand this, that you cannot let critics determine your obedience to the Lord. You cannot let others who don't know your situation determine your obedience to the Lord. If God is calling you to it, even if it's like Mary, I mean, just imagine, here's Mary, and they're in this culture that you know, is almost kind of misogynistic, where the men had the table and the women needed to be quiet, and you just serve us and you stay in the kitchen, and here's Mary coming in front of all these men. It's like, I don't care. I'm not here to answer to these men. I'm here to pour out my worship, my generosity, my love for my Savior. So not everybody understood her gift. But then last one, number four, her gift was pleasing to Jesus. This is the only voice that mattered in the moment. Not Mary's price tag, not the crowd's affirmation, not Judas's criticism. None of those things mattered. The only voice that made a difference in Mary's life was of the Lord. And Jesus, sitting there, was so moved by Mary's giving. He was so moved by her generosity, it had a profound impact on Jesus's life. He was so moved that he goes on and he tells Judas, man, you just need to shut up. You need to be quiet. You need to quit talking to her. You need to leave her alone, is what Jesus told him. Now, I love because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one of these guys, they give their version of the dinner, right? They say, this is my point of view. And Mark says it like this. Look what Mark says in verse 14, verse 9. This is what Jesus said after Judas stands up and tells him, well, you shouldn't have done this. What's she doing? She's dumb. Listen to what Jesus says. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. In a small little house at a dining room table, we're still talking about this in 2026. That's how big of a deal her generosity was. That's how big of a deal her heart was. That Jesus says, for the rest of time, Mary's gonna get talked about because she did what was right. She lived in front of everybody, it didn't matter. She did what I called her to do. Her giving moved the heart and attention of Jesus so much that he announced to everyone that people will be talking about this for centuries. Not to make her famous. It's not about making Mary famous, but it's about to inspire our hearts to give like Mary gave. To inspire our stories in our life today, that Mary took such a precious gift of hers and she said, here you go, Jesus, it's yours. It's yours. How is that possible? How is that possible? Here's what I think, and we've been talking about this, and it's really the name of our series. Mary didn't give what was left over. She gave what mattered most. First things first. The things that I hold first in my life, that's what I got to surrender to the Lord. That's what God's calling you and I. She didn't wait for a better time. She didn't wait till she had some more perfume. Let me build it up a little bit so then I'll give Jesus some. She responded to Jesus. Can you imagine living that way, church? Can you imagine living your life in such a way that your obedience inspires people long after you're gone? I mean, can you imagine, parents, what if your kids one day gave away millions of dollars because they watched you give away hundreds? What if your company changed, the whole culture changes because they watch how extravagantly generous you are with your kindness and with your love and with your money, with all of your life? What if your culture changed? What if your church could see an entire city come to know Jesus because you decided, I'm going to be generous and we catch the attention of Jesus and he's like, wait a minute, they're doing something radical there. They're really being generous. They're trying to do exactly what I've called them. They're not worried about what everybody else thinks. What if your obedience inspires people long after you're gone? You taking the next step has an impact on others. You taking the next step will affect people in your circle. It'll make some people question you, think you're a little crazy. But your bold step for Jesus, like Mary's, it'll move the heart of God, our Lord, our Master, and our King. So here's my question. I love to leave you guys with a question because I want you to go home. I want you to pray through this. I want you to think about it. I want the Lord to use this question in your life. As we close today, here's the question. I want you to write down, take a picture, whatever you want to do. Are you going to hold it? Or are you going to pour it out? Are you going to hold it? Or are you going to pour it out? Mary walked in with her, the Bible says, with an alabaster box. The thing most precious to her in her life. She poured it out on Jesus. Now, for some of you in here today, you're waiting for more before you become generous. But here's what I believe. God's waiting on you to move. The Bible tells us that if we're faithful in a little, He'll give it. We can be faithful in much. You're waiting for more, but God's waiting on you to move. And you know what, church? Listen, we're talking about aligning our finances and our money. It's something that we all deal with in our lives. We all handle it different ways. Money means so many different things. For some of you, money means security. It means we're good, we're savers. And for some of you, it means, man, let's just go party, let's have fun, and that's awesome, right? And that's okay. I'm not even specifically only talking about money today. What is God telling you to take your next step? Maybe it's kindness towards someone. Maybe it's love toward, I don't know what it is. But let me encourage you today to make your move. Take your next step. Don't just come to church and go, oh man, that was cool. Saw some people that I hadn't seen in a while, you know. And, you know, I gave some high fives. Pastor Joe made me. I didn't want to, but he made me. Like, don't just leave here today and go, man, that was cool. Like, ask God, what's my next step? What is my next step in my life? And for some of you in here today, your next step is you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus. You need to stop playing games. And the Lord is, you know, I'm talking about money and I'm talking about Mary and Lazarus and raising him from the dead. But the reality is you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. Before you start giving money and kindness and love, you need to say, God, I surrender. Here I am. And for some of you, that's your next step. You need to confess your sins and you need to pour out you and allow Jesus to refill you with himself. For some of you, your next step is you need to just be honest and you say, you know what, God, I've been living my will and it's time for me to surrender to your will. I've trusted you with my eternity, but my earthly life is really built more on me, what I can do, what I can accomplish. And so your next step is you need to today say, God, I surrender my will to yours. You need to start living a generous life like Mary. Maybe God today is showing you some things that you've been holding on to and he's calling you to pour it out. It's time to pour it out. You've been protecting it. You've been holding on to it. You got your box. And today, God's speaking to your heart. It's time. It's time to start pouring it out. So I love so much about God is that I can preach a message like this and I don't know, there's a couple hundred people in the room and he can speak to every single one of us in a different way. He's a good God. He's a powerful God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. So let me just encourage you today, don't allow yesterday to keep you from taking your next step today. Don't allow what you think criticism may come to keep you from taking the step that Jesus wants you to take. Mary poured it all out. She held nothing back. What are you holding back? Let me ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes as we close our time together today. My prayer this week has been that God would use this to raise up a church of generosity. And again, I'm not just talking about money. A church that is truly generous, that is truly, just like Mary, say, I'm bringing all I got, here I am. Bringing everything I got, Lord, and I'm laying it at your feet. As a matter of fact, I'll wash your feet with my hair, with my tears. I'm a very visual learner, and as I was studying this week and reading this passage of scripture, I just closed my eyes and I just imagined myself just kneeling down at the feet of Jesus. Jesus sitting at this table. The Bible says he was reclining at a table, and Jesus sitting there. And I'm just imagining myself sitting at the feet of Jesus. Just taking a towel and washing Jesus' feet and telling him, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And I think that should be our heart every day when we awake. God, here I am. I pour my love on you. Are you ready to pour it out today, church? If God's speaking to your heart about giving your life and surrendering to him, take that step today. I'll be up here after the service, Pastor Joe. Our prayer team is back in the back by the welcome sign. Come talk to one of us and say, hey, I need to surrender. It's time. Maybe you need to go home and order your finances in a way that you give God your first and your best. And just like I said in week one, if City Hope Church is not that place for you to begin to give, I will help you find a beautiful, amazing church in our area. It's not about City Hope. It's about you becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. What's your next step today, church? What's he calling you to pour out that you've been holding on to? Would you let it go today? Take a minute right now at the feet of Jesus. Father, you are good. You're so good. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Mary's example. Lord, would you raise up some Marys in this room? Would you show us the places in our heart that we're holding on to, that we're not willing to let go of? Lord, may we be a church known for our generosity. Known for how we love, known for how we care, known for how we shepherd, how we spread your love. Lord, I pray that this week everybody under the sound of my voice would go and mimic Mary. And we would go into our school and our team and our workplace. We would go into our homes, God, and that we would just be extravagant with our generosity, extravagant with our love. And we would watch it have an effect on the people we love the most. Use us, God, as a catalyst to ignite this fire here in Bluffton, South Carolina. Use us, God. Challenge us and change us, oh God, that we may always be a people who pour out and not hold on. We ask all this in your precious and holy name.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.